To be honest, May is not a month that you would think of as the best month to talk about kids in church. For all the reasons that we listed out together in that call to worship and many, many more, many families with younger kids, as well as all of us whose lives are connected to families with kids, we are often so busy and even exhausted in the month of May. May can feel like a time warp or even like a black hole. It's why May is often, we consider it a low activity month at church, because actually what I've noticed is those who don't have kids at home, they go on vacation in the month of May. So put that all together, it is hard to get people's attention in the month of May, and sometimes it can feel even a little cruel to even try. And on top of that, May brings this perpetual conundrum for all preachers: Mother's Day. Because there are many different feelings about Mother's Day and different experiences when it comes to being or having a mother, or in my children's and in many other children's cases, mothers. Many moms, or those with complicated mom feelings, take Mother's Day off of church for both good and sometimes hard reasons. But it is here in this month of black holes and competing priorities, that we actually need most to talk about children and families and the big why of their place in our congregation. Because while the reality is that it is never easy to be a kid today, or to be a family today, or to be a person today, May just makes these things a little more apparent. Because all year long, families experience that state of overwhelm. And yet their schedules may be packed, but they also feel somewhat isolated and even disconnected. Kids and their parents long for a deeper connection today, to be known and to make a real difference, to not just be busy, but for their lives to matter. Kids are in many ways empowered today, with more access to more information than they've ever had. I mean, think about it. We're living in a time where kids are very clear that they do not need adults for information, right? I mean, they have Google. So parents and other adults in their lives, they do not exist to provide them information. Actually, my experience is that most of the time, they're now just even more aware of how much information we do not have. But in the midst of all that information, they still need us, because they need help figuring out what really matters in life today, in the midst of all the things. And they need the tools to help build a life that's oriented to those things that really matter. I've also noticed there's more opportunity than ever for families and for kids to meet people. They can meet all sorts of people from all over the world through social media or through various school activities and meetups and all kinds of things that are always going on. There's especially a lot of opportunity to do what Brené Brown calls the divide and conquer strategy. If you have a multiple adult household with children, you know what I'm talking about. You say, it's the thing where you go, okay, you go to soccer, I'll go to football, let's see if we can meet up in between, but wait, you need to go to the grocery store, so that you're always, all of you, scattered and all over the place. And if you have grandparents, you add one more level. Many things going on, but in these things, these are often superficial connections. Things where you just begin the, hey, how are you, without ever really going any deeper. And you're all separate. There's not that many opportunities for whole families to experience real belonging and purpose. These are all... This was, I'll tell you, the 8:30, we had like two kids, and we knew in this service we would have the full fulfillment of our vision of what it would feel like. So thank you. That was our hope. These are big changes in the life of what it means to be a family or a kid today. If we try to still be that church that at one time we could be, that offers more information or education to our kids, or is just another event to add into their packed schedule, then I'm afraid that eventually every month in church will start to feel like May does here at church. A month where families aren't around too much, not because they don't need the support of this community, but because they actually need it even more. And so we need to make some adjustments to be more in tune with what life really is like today. Try out some experiments to find ways to meet families and kids in ways that centers the core of what we do here on providing relationships and getting to know each other for real, even when it's chaotic. Providing mentorships so that kids and families can know that their lives are held in a wider circle where we can go deeper and deal with real challenges and to know and name each other's real gifts, grounded in that commitment to every person's inherent worth and knowing that we are all in this life together. Because what hasn't changed is the need for the hope and good news that this community can provide. For the opportunity to cry and laugh, an ugly cry together, sing together across all our ages, and continue to be a support through all of life's journey.
So when Gretchen and Sean and I talked about this service today, and when we were planning, we decided we would try something a little bit different. So we are going to invite you to join into small circles for conversation of approximately 6 people, but definitely no more than 8. So to do this, we're going to invite you to actually turn your chairs to form circles. And we have some questions for you. We have some prompts on the screen for you to share in your circles. Simple prompts. In your circle, we'd like you to share your name, and then each of you to have a chance to tell each other about a person who you have met in your life who is now or was older than you at the time who made a difference in your life. Okay? So go ahead and form yourself into small circles of no more, ideally 6 to 8 people for conversation.
Back to these chairs, so don't worry about making a mess.
We'd like to invite you to just... don't worry about straightening the rows. Just turn your chair back so you're facing forward. No need to be super tidy.
Tell them about the whiteboard too.
Yeah.
When they come back.
Yeah, I can. To cut that conversation short. So it was wonderful to see the circles and see the different ages of people really having these wonderful conversations together. And we brought the dry erase board into the back of the social hall because we thought it might be fun for you to, after the service, if you'd like to, we'd invite you to go to that board and write on the board about that person that was meaningful to you, that person who helped you in your life when you were a younger person, someone who was a mentor to you. So we invite you to do that after the service. So why kids in church? Well, I started working here at Foothills in the fall of 1999 when my son Will was 10 years old. And Will was not always the easiest kid to adapt to new situations. And he was less than thrilled about his mom becoming the church lady. So on my very first day on staff at Foothills, my son went missing. He never made it into his RE group, and several adults were searching high and low for him, only to eventually find him and a friend hiding in the big concrete tubes on the playground. Don't get any ideas, you guys, okay? So it was tempting to just let him stay home after that week, but of course I didn't do that. Well, here's another story that tells you why I didn't give up on my kids in church, and this one is about my youngest daughter, Samantha. So one day I was driving my daughter and her two friends. I was in the chauffeur position, and they were all in, three of them, in the back seat. And I'm sure that sounds familiar to a lot of you parents of preteens or middle schoolers. And I overheard them talking about their eighth grade OWL class. Now, OWL is the comprehensive sexuality education class that we offer here at Foothills. The gist of their conversation was about how they were excited for high school and going to high school parties, but how they were never going to get drunk at parties because that was when people had unprotected sex, and they had learned that in their OWL class. So my mother's heart just burst with joy and gratitude for my church that offers these life-saving, life-enriching classes for my children and the tools for me as a parent to have open conversations about sexuality at home. And I also felt huge gratitude for the adult leaders of my children's OWL classes. These were people who have busy lives and families of their own, but who are called to this higher purpose of helping our kids to have accurate information and a holistic view of sexuality. They gave their time to this valuable service of mentoring and guiding my child, and they found deep fulfillment in their role. And my daughter still thinks of her OWL leaders and RE teachers as people she can trust, people who have known her entire life, and who care about her and see her as a whole person. That's an example of the beauty that happens for kids in church. And my daughter, Samantha, she came home from her first semester of college last year to attend the church Buckhorn retreat because she could not imagine missing it. That's the power of church in our kids' lives. And I've said yes to kids being in church over and over again through the years for my own kids, for countless other families. But that doesn't mean that it's easy, especially when we realize that the bad news is kids come to church at best no more than 40 hours a year. But the good news is parents and guardians have over 3,000 hours a year with their kids. And the church, and it's important for you to know that when I say the church, I mean all of us, the church community, not just the church building or the staff, we are all uniquely positioned to come alongside parents to help them become more intentional in this very tough task of raising children to be purposeful and compassionate adults. We are here as a church for parents and families to say that you don't have to do it alone. I believe that our very best, our church community, all of us here at Foothills, we can support children and families in many ways. We can be here helping families to feel supported through all of life's milestones and transitions, like our baby blessing a few weeks ago, our coming of age ceremony we do every other year, and our senior high bridging. Church is where we say these transitions matter and your lives matter and you have support beyond your family with those important other adults who see you and help you to become your best selves. And we can support families today by being there for parents and kids in real ways, in worship, in small groups, for parents, kids, adults. And in the fall, we're going to begin experimenting with new ways to do our Sunday programs for children and youth, with more emphasis on building relationships with each other, more emphasis on mentorship, but still with all of the great learning about spiritual tools, Unitarian Universalist principles and practices, world religions, all of those things that we love about our Sundays for children. And we, most importantly, we can be there for children and families by being adult role models and mentors for kids in our congregation. All of the research shows that one of the most important factors in the future success of a child is the presence of an adult mentor in their life who is not their parent. The role of adults who lead our groups and classes for our children and youth is critical. We could never have the impact on our kids that we have now if we didn't have that partnership. We have many of those adults here today who are leaders of small groups in our RE classrooms, of our RE teachers. And so I would like to just give us a moment of gratitude for those folks. So I'd invite you, if you're an RE teacher this year, can you stand for a moment? Thank you. So these adults are here steadfastly week after week, showing up in the lives of our children and youth as caring adults. Every child should have caring adults like these in their lives. And did you know that many of the people who lead our children's Sunday groups are not the parent of a child in their group? I'll say that again. They are not the parent of a child in their group. Can you believe that? So some of you might be wondering, why are they doing this? I might like to think that it's because of my irresistible powers of persuasion, but I know that's not the reason. They're here because they want to make a difference in the lives of children, and they want to partner with parents to help them win at this very tough job of parenting. So I would ask all of you, every one of the adults in this room, to consider, could you be that adult in the life of a child? Church might be the only place that can be here for the most difficult child, for the family that is really struggling, for help with the hard conversations about challenging things that are happening in the world today. We can come alongside parents to help kids become more connected to their inner lives, their relationships, and to something greater that we might call God or this web of life. I'd like to finish with some words from the UU minister, Jean Noyar. She wrote a favorite little book of mine called The Gift of Faith. There is a story of a little girl who asked her parents as they drove to church one Sunday morning, "What do we get at church?" In response to her parents' puzzled look, she said, "Well, at the library, we get books. At the grocery store, we get food. What do we get at church?" In our society of agendas and action items, religious community stands apart. We gather in church not to get, to do, or achieve, but simply to be together in particular ways, ways of seeking, celebrating, and supporting, ways of connecting, binding together the solitariness of individuals into the strength of community, a community where we can learn a deep sense of trust and connection because the people there truly love and accept us just as we are. Thank you. And I... I forgot to say one thing for our religious exploration teachers. I have a gift for you. We have a gift for you. It's in the social hall. We have a table with gifts. And on that table, we have cards that I would invite everyone in the congregation to write a note of thanks to these caring adults that show up to guide and mentor our kids every Sunday. So please stop by. You can write an individual note or just a general note to all of them. Thank you so much.